How's your hair? Looks all right.
It's about as thin as the grass on my lawn.
How is the grass on your lawn? Is that a euphemism? No, really, how is the grass on your lawn?
It's not doing anything at the moment. So I dug up my lawn, like made a real mess of it. But that's what you have to do in order to break up the soil enough for the new seeds to have something to grip mm-hmm. into, I guess. So yeah, basically it looks an utter mess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it doesn't seem too dissimilar between grass and cress in my head. And cress grows super like fast. The clappers. Right. Yeah. So I mean, maybe I should have planted the whole lawn with cress. Oh, I could do that with my hair.
I mean, it's a look.
My face is slightly egg-like.
Mushing the sandwiches.
Maybe it would be good having cress just coming out of here.
Hello. You're listening to the Doing It For The Kids podcast, where we swear a bit too much and talk a bit too fast about freelance life with kids in the mix. I'm Frankie, and this is Steve.
Hello! Yes, each episode we take a question from the Doing It For The Kids community, do our best to answer it. But of course, we start each episode by looking back at the last episode and taking your comments on it. Last time we were talking about...
everything getting more expensive and how we can maybe possibly cope with that.
Thank you so much for all of your comments. Lots of them were basically... empathetic? Is that the right word?
Slash swearing.
But also some people who had, oh, I don't want to say that we inspired them to put up their rates, but maybe we gave them the final kick up the arse that they needed.
Mm.
As in they were already knew they needed to. So anyway, hope that's been going well.
So it's actually been 2 weeks since the last episode for once in our lives. How have you been? What have you been up to?
Well, first of all, I found out that Super Noodles are now 85p.
What?
Last time I checked, they were like 50p.
I feel like we need to take a moment to just talk about chicken Super Noodles. Most of my early 20s, I was sustained by chicken Super Noodles, which as far as I can understand, are just sodium in a bowl.
There's certainly no chicken.
No.
They are vegetarian.
Exactly. Yeah. Are they really?
Yeah, our son is vegetarian. So I'm aware of what things are and aren't. Chicken Super Noodles are vegetarian.
What? I don't understand. How can you flavour a chicken product without chicken?
Because it's all just magic dust, isn't it? It's just a combination of things that give off the flavour of what you think chicken tastes like. Someone's just put a letter under my door.
Is it a threat?
Yeah, this is a corporate writ from bachelors. Please stop slagging off Super Noodles. Oh my God, does anybody else get so many letters from Funding Circle? I swear, half of the world's deforestation must come from letters from flipping Funding Circle. They must, maybe it's if you become a limited company. Maybe that's when they
swoop. I'm a
limited
company. I've never had a letter from Funding Circle.
You've never
had
a letter?
Nope. I get about 20 marketing flyers a year from Viking Direct, but nothing from Funding Circle.
Viking Direct! For all your Viking needs. Have you subscribed to Viking Direct? Each month, a friendly Viking is delivered to your doorstep. Collect the set.
I appreciate out of context. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
After 25 months, you'll have enough to build your own longboat. Do you remember those when you were a kid? Those magazines where you, like, you could get them each week and you would build, like, I don't know, the cutty sark. But actually, but there would always be like the small print that actually, if you were to buy enough things, it would cost about £5,000. Introductory price £1.99.
So for the first time in 2022, i.e. we've only had two episodes so far, we've got an anonymous question.
Yes, and just a reminder, when we have an anonymous question, we then dive into the fantasy name generator and pick a detective name because we just find it easier to speak to a person rather than just saying anonymous. So here are some suggested names. Anne Dukes, Rene Hammer, Fran Abbott. You're not tempted by Rene Hammer?
I am, but I'm just holding out to see what happens next.
Stevie Alexander, Val Simons.
Fine. What was it? Rene...
Well, I don't know anymore because
Hammer.
I've
Hammer.
Moved on. Rene Hammer. Yeah. It sounds, I mean, admittedly, sounds like a porn star. But... Okay, episode 79, and the question comes from Rene Hammer. Hey, Rene. Rene says, hi, Frankie and Steve. My partner hates their job. Like, really hates their job. Meanwhile, they see me being busy wearing all the hats, but happy working freelance. So I've been softly encouraging them to become self-employed too. They're coming round to the idea, but crucially, they haven't fully figured out what it is they would actually do as a freelancer. I don't want to say too much about their job in case it gets back to their employer, but hopefully you can still answer my question. How do you pin down what your freelance business is and does? Thanks. My question hits me. So makes me think, oh my Lord.
It's an excellent question. On paper, it's like, oh, well, currently, for example, I work in digital marketing. I will leave my job and freelance as a digital marketing consultant. But that's not necessarily the case, don't you think?
Yeah, I suppose that's the obvious thing, isn't it? And lots of people do it. We are known for something, we've worked to something for years, and then we simply take that skill and probably even the same job title and put the word freelance or independent in front of it, and then we carry on.
Yeah. Well, there's two things there. One is there'll be a lot of people, we don't know about this person, but there'll be a lot of people who have an employed job that they have no interest in doing freelance or can't be applied in a freelance way.
Or you are doing the thing, but you hate the thing.
Well, exactly. You don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. Or there's another thing that you have seen other people doing that you want to do, but you don't necessarily have the experience or the skills yet to do. Like, that is also an option. I think part of what I'm getting at here is I don't think you should limit yourself by the job that you're currently in. I think a lot of people would immediately be like, well, the next move has to make like CV sense, like it should be a natural continuation of what I've done. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea. That makes a lot of makes a lot of sense, and will probably be easier for you to do that. But I wouldn't be afraid to pivot, love that word, or like learn new skills to do something a bit different, maybe.
So how do we help them? I think one, so if it's not obvious, take a look at, for a start, your skills, like make a note of them, and don't just go for the obvious ones, because actually, particularly if you've worked in a company, there are lots of skills that you have that you take for granted, I guess. Mm. Like, you don't even see them as something that might come in handy further down the line. So really think about what it is that you're good at / enjoy doing in your current role.
So yeah, we're talking about like, you need to look at your skills, what you've got, what's in your arsenal, what are you capable of doing? And by capable of doing, I mean, could you also like do some training while you're in employment, for example, while you've got a regular pay packet to learn new skills, if that's what you want to do. So it's like the skills and knowledge experience side. Then there's the like, what do you enjoy? What comes easily to you? And then, yeah, like, who's your audience and how much are they going to pay you? Is that sustainable for your situation? Like, how much is your rent or your mortgage? Like, you need to actually think about some of the financials of it and look at, you know, what types of businesses are going to facilitate the lifestyle that you are currently living.
So who is your audience, but where are they as well? Like, what are they, you know, because we don't know the finer detail about this particular question, but what are they looking for? Like, what is their need? How can you help them? Because that's ultimately what a business does. As a freelance business, somebody has a need and you then help them with that. Because I'm guessing that their partner, Renee's partner, has some sort of idea of what they like doing, but they haven't pinned down exactly what it is. And maybe that might come by looking from what your what your clients are asking for. Do you know what? Maybe part of that might also come from Google searches or going on the likes of Fiverr or Upwork. Now, I'm not saying you have to get the work from those platforms, but if you search for certain terms to do with what it is you're thinking of doing, it might bring up services that people already offer. Like, I will do this task for this amount of money in this amount of time. It will start to make you go, oh, that's clearly what people...
I could do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what people are after. How could I do that? Yeah. Have a look at what other people are doing. If can you find somebody else making a living out of whatever skill it is that you think you have to offer? Because if they are, then you can too.
And don't be afraid to ask those people. Some people will say no, but don't be afraid to like ask those people. There's a real like freelance culture of passing it on, handing it down from one generation to the next. Like if you listen to someone on Steve's podcast, for example, and go, oh, their story's amazing and sounds like me, try and contact them and say, I listened to this.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a chat. The worst they can say is no or just ignore you. That's fine. But you never know. They might prove to be instrumental in your decision making. We drove back from London last night and I asked Rob randomly while he was driving, what would you do if you went freelance? Anyway, we had a bit of a chat about it ahead of this question. He didn't really know. He was like, whatever job you choose, whatever you decide to be self-employed in, like no job is perfect. So you're aiming by making this move to have more better days than crappy days.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was like, yes, that's good. I like that. Like more happy. You're like trying to tilt the balance towards the happy, but there'll always be the like the shit, whatever job you're in. I agree that like the thing you choose should be something you enjoy and it makes you happy, but it won't necessarily make you happy all the time.
Yeah, because some advice is, you know, follow your passion.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I'm not totally adverse to that. I've interviewed loads of people for the Being Freelance podcast who have done that and are very happy, but it doesn't quite stack up in that not everything you're passionate about is something that you will be paid for or paid well enough for.
Definitely not.
Also, there is the risk of when you do something that you're passionate about that you lose the passion for it because it becomes a business. And then if that's an integral part of who you are, then suddenly you've kind of like shifted your like internal balance.
Yeah. And the older I get, the more I think hobbies and having a life away from your job and your children is really important.
Mm.
And if you take a hobby and monetize it, I think there's a real risk that you suck the joy out of it. Yeah. And then what are you going to do outside of your job to stay sane? You'll have to get a new hobby.
So not wanting to make that sound negative, but it's just worth considering.
Yeah, it's not as straightforward as that either.
I also think it suggests that if you're not feeling passionate in quotation marks about something, then maybe that isn't the thing that you should be doing. Mm. When in fact, yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be your everything.
Mm.
Instead of following your passion, following what perhaps you're good at or what people need or what people are going to pay you for. Like, it's not as simple as saying, you know, do what you love because... you know, you've got a family to help feed.
Yeah.
and some of it you won't love doing, but if you enjoy the job enough, then you don't mind so much like the admin and all of that that goes with life and business. Yeah, I suppose you see, my passion, I guess, like I really enjoy editing audio, working with audio, making podcasts. But when I went freelance, I noticed that people needed, this was pre-podcast being a big thing, needed video.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that is something I also can do. I have that skill. So I will offer that. And then when I started offering video, some people then went, oh, we need a presenter. Well, at the time I was working in radio and I did do presenting. So I was like, oh, I can get paid to do that. And then somebody would go, oh, well, we're going to need a script writer. And I was like, oh, well, I write scripts. Even though I don't consider myself a writer in radio, I was writing things all the time. So, okay, I'll suddenly add that. And that's another thing people can pay me for. And then eventually somebody came to me and said, oh, well, we need a whole video made, but it will be filmed. Okay, well, I'll go and hire a videographer and I'll pay them, but you pay me. And then somebody said, can you make animations? I was like, no, I can't make animations. And I thought, oh, but maybe I can hire an animator. And then they could see. So none of these things, like if I was to invent my job now to be my freelance thing, so many of those things would never have occurred to me. They only occurred to me by listening to opportunities that came along
and then doing it
and people paying me or figuring out how to do it. And of course, some things I turned down. I was like, no, I can't do that. Yeah, I'm not quite sure where I'm going. But I guess I'm saying is that like the obvious thing to me is that I worked in radio. So I should have been editing podcasts or editing radio and so on. But actually, I looked at what all my skills were and how those integrated with what people were asking me to do as they came along. And out of that, I built a business. And some of those things I'm passionate about. Some of those things I love doing. Some of those things I'm really good at. And other things, there are probably people who are better at it than I am. But I do it anyway because people like working with me and I get the job done.
I did a talk called Be More Stretch Armstrong. Do you remember that talk? That was actually about parenting and freelancing, but it still applies. Like, one of the ultimate things about being self-employed is you gain flexibility in your life, but you also have to be flexible in order to gain that flexibility. And what Steve just said is a classic example. You've adapted to survive. You've been like the ultimate Flex Armstrong by going, here are my skills. And then over time going, oh no, I can do way more than this. I can do X, I can do Y. I can, you know, you saw your opportunities and you adapted to make your business solve those problems for people, and it's been
and
success.
Then I think through doing that, you can then further down the line go, okay, now I want to refocus my business or niche or specialize in doing a particular thing.
Yeah, because I've gone the other way. Like, when I started out as a freelancer, I was like, oh, I can do any design you want. I will do a website, I will do corporate brochures, I will do branding, I will do blah 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 blah. But instead of, like, the opposite of what Steve's done, over time I've gone, I don't want to do websites. I don't want to work for these people. I want to do fun, colourful shit for this really small minority of small businesses. And that's kind of worked for me in a way, by being more like, you know, making myself smaller has weirdly, well, brought me more joy for a start. The work I do now, I love all of it. Yeah. And I've attracted more of my ideal client by niching down how I present myself on my website and et cetera. And that's been okay too. So, you know.
But you started out. Well, because you started out, like, if we're talking about I need to pin down and nail down what it is that I'm going to do. Well, you started out very general and then have narrowed it down by doing the work and figuring it out as you go along, which is kind of the same as me. But if we were to have sat there, like, doing our other jobs and gone, okay, what is it I'm going to do? And then you went, okay, I'm going to make colourful, playful design and work in lots of magazines and print or family-orientated businesses or whatever it might be. Like, that would have been impossible probably to have figured out. Unless, like we say, you saw somebody doing it and went, okay, I'm going to do exactly that. But yeah, some things you can figure out as you go along. And that's no bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've said this on other episodes, like, you, the best way to nail down the thing you want to do is to do lots of things that you really don't enjoy. You don't realize it at the time. But when you have those jobs and you go, oh my God, I hate this. It's one step towards doing the work you really want to be doing, because you make sure you never have, you never work with that client again or a similar client, or you do a similar project. And over time, you identify what it is you do really enjoy doing and what you are really good at. Not to say you shouldn't do all the research and planning as well, but get going. What is it? What's the startup phrase? Move fast, break shit, or something?
I think that's your toddler, isn't it?
Yeah, quite.
Go hammer, yo hammer, go hammer, go hammer, and the rest can go and play. Okay, that's what we think. Anyway, have you got advice? Maybe you had to figure out what it was. Maybe it wasn't obvious for you. Maybe it wasn't just as simple as porting one job title into the freelance world. You can get in touch with Frankie wherever she posts this online. Drop her an email, drop her a DM, whatever. And we could be reading them out next time. Also, of course, we need a question. So if you've got something you'd like to ask, please do. And as we've just proved, it can always be anonymous if it needs to be.
And if you are like Renee's partner and are getting started being freelance, then Steve has a course for you. Tell us about it, Steve.
Well, it's called How to Get Started Being Freelance. And I must admit, it doesn't tell you how to figure out what the thing is. Presumes that you know what the thing is. But it does tell you everything else about finding clients, about how to invoice and sort out your finances. Like, it's all in there once you figured out what it is that you're going to do. And you can find that if you click on course at beingfreelance.com, where you'll also find the community and the podcast and yada, yada, yada.
And I've been spending far too much time with Zapier. Anyone that's familiar with that knows that it fries your brain. Yes, I'm in the final stages of plans for Doing It For Kids 2.0. It will now finally be launching after the Easter holidays. So if you're keen, the website now, there's just a sign up for the newsletter where you can specifically be told about the launch of it. So go to doingitforkids.net and put your email in there.
Okay, yes, so the Easter break's coming up.
Any plans? You're going away?
Yes, we are, actually.
We're not going anywhere.
Well, do you know what? You've had such a whirlwind of late. It should be nice to just live in the calm.
I could not agree more. What is the point of the archive function in your email reader? Do you archive anything? What is the point? Surely you just delete it when you don't. Why would you want to archive it? What does it even mean?
Well, because archive.
As in, like, does it...
Oh, she's off. She's tickled herself. None of us are in on the joke yet. We'll get there eventually.
Seriously.